Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Dave Martin, who is the founder of Netra Media. Dave has 15 years experience implementing sales and marketing strategies. He is the winner of the 40 Under 40 Award and has been a featured speaker on Google Advertising at SXSW. Today, we're going to be discussing Dave's journey as an entrepreneur and how he's grown Netra Media. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dave.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's dive into a couple questions so that our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Okay.
So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
I am tuning in from the beautiful state of California with the lowest gas prices in the nation. I'm in Fresno, so we're like right in the middle of California.
Okay, very nice. I'm very jealous. We have a lot of snow here in Ontario, Canada. So yes, very jealous of your lovely California weather.
It's hard to beat. It is definitely hard to beat, but it's a little expensive, but we make it work.
Yeah, exactly. So tell me, what motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
You know, I became an entrepreneur almost out of necessity because I've worked for other people. I got my MBA with this executive MBA program through Fresno State, where you need to be kind of 10 years experience in working. And I really kind of got fired up and wanting to do my own thing after doing this program. And I first looked around to see like, well, what companies can I work for? So it wasn't even like, hey, I'm just going to be this entrepreneur. But what it turned out is at the time, there was really no companies that were really digital marketing at their core. And so it just made me think, well, if that doesn't exist, then I should create it.
Yeah, totally.
And so that's how I became an entrepreneur.
That's so cool. And yeah, that actually reminds me how I started my marketing business as well. I lived in a small town and they're just, I was like newly graduated. There wasn't a lot of marketing jobs in the area. So yeah, I just dove in. I just started my own small marketing company and just basically out of necessity, same as you.
I know. I think it's so easy to feel like somebody has to give you permission to do it when it's like, really, it's kind of yourself that has to give yourself permission to see yourself in a totally different light. And if you're passionate about it, I find that conveys to other people and they go, wow, yeah, you really know your stuff. So that was, 2012. So that was a whopping 10 years ago, which as you know, is ancient history in digital marketing terms.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So what really sets Netra Media apart from other agencies?
Well, let's see. You know, the owner of Netra Media has the gleam in his eye thing. So aside from that, it's the typical stuff. Google, Facebook partners, we've spent $24 million on the platforms. We're SEO experts. We're web design, email marketing experts. I just described probably maybe the 10 or 15% of all agencies out there, not just us. So while those are some of our credentials, I think what really allows us to stand apart is a couple things. One, we approach growth differently. we really take more of a growth hacking mindset. We have an agency business model, like I just mentioned, doing digital ads and SEO and all that kind of stuff, design. But then for some companies that need more strategy implementation, we also offer a fractional CMO approach where, you know, the first thing we come in with should not be, hey, you should spend 10 grand on SEM. I mean, that's what an agency would say. But if you hire a CMO full time, that is not the first thing they should say. They should look at, well, how are we getting most of our business? And oftentimes it's a handful of relationships that float the boat for many, many companies, and identifying, okay, well, what are similar relationships and how do we activate those? And looking at those kinds of growth channels that don't usually scale from a marketing agency's perspective, but they are a necessity for the business. And so that's one of the ways that we stand out. We don't offer that to everybody, though. We can only work with one company at a time in a CMO engagement because it really requires a ton of rolling up your sleeves and time and working with teams, and where we really play quarterback, where usually our clients have a marketing team, but we are kind of running what's going on with marketing. We have our own team, of course. So that's one way that we stand out. And I think the other way that we stand out is our focus. So we have really drilled down to empowering credit unions and community banks and helping them with their marketing, because we have been working with them for 9 years. And so we understand a lot of the nuances of the industry. And we've also developed some awesome data attribution for banks and credit unions that we're very excited about. So I think those are the two things that make us stand out the most.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, those are actually two very unique factors. So very cool. Love that. And what are, would you say, some of the biggest challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
Biggest challenges. I would say, you know, as we grow, I wear usually the sales hat. We don't have a salesperson per se, but when we have somebody that's interested, it's usually me that builds that relationship, and then they become a client. And for Netra to grow, it can't be me as the account manager. So of course we have those roles.
Yeah.
I think one of the challenges is instilling that sense of, here's why they chose us. They chose us because of these things, but sometimes it's because they just like me. And I struggle sometimes with, all right, we're passing them to an account manager who's very talented and knows what they're doing. But I could always sense sometimes that the clients should think kind of like, oh, okay, like our relationship, we were kind of hoping that we would, where it's like, you can't, like, we can't grow as a company. It's kind of a, it's kind of a ceiling, you know, if it's me that's doing all the account management. So I think that's a hard part. And then me, there's also this factor of nobody could do it like I can. Like, that's my thought. And I know that that's not the right thought.
Yeah.
And so entrusting others that may have different methods of doing things with the same goal. And because I don't want a bunch of robots working for Netra. I want you to feel empowered and that you love working here. And so I think that's one of the hard things is growing, growing in that fashion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm curious to know how you handle clients who might show a little bit of resistance when you're making that transition from the connection of working with you to handing them over to your account executive. How do you handle that scenario?
So what we do is, as many agencies, we have a discovery call, a kickoff meeting, whatever you want to call it, to get things going. And that is usually when I have the account manager in that meeting And I also empower the account manager to be like, I don't want it to be the Dave show. I want you to, here's a couple things that you can talk about, like value to bring to the conversation with the goal of kind of showing off that you know what you're doing. And for the client to make that mental note, like, wow, they're pretty awesome. And then okay, so this person is going to be your account manager now. And so here's what I usually do is you can always email me as well, but you're probably going to get a faster response if you email her too.
And then
that's kind of the situation. And so, we just had an account manager leave us and we hired another one. And the thought would be, hey, let's give all of those clients that account manager had to the new one. And in a sense, it's the first thing I wanted to do and the last thing. It's the first thing because I can't handle all these clients, but it's the last thing because I don't want clients to feel like they're bouncing back and forth. Mm-hmm. And so what we did there, and you didn't ask this question, but it's related. What we did there was I would reach out to all these clients and either Zoom call to kind of make it more personal and introduce the new account manager and just say, hey, as you know, this account manager left and we did hire this new one, but I will be your point of contact moving forward because I don't want you to feel like you're bouncing around. But I also have her and she's going to be helping as well. And that's it. So
that's
I've said I'm the main point, but then internally, like behind the curtain, when they email me and they email the account manager, I purposely do not get back to them as fast as I normally would, giving my account manager time to get back to them. So over time, they start to see like, oh, wow, she gets back to me a lot faster than Dave.
Yeah.
And so
that's awesome.
That's what we've come up with so far. So far, it's working pretty well.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Cause yeah, it's a real life pain point that a lot of agencies have to deal with. And you just worry about the happiness of your clients. So What would you say is the biggest challenge that you've had to overcome in your agency and how have you overcome that?
You know, I'd like to say that all of our decisions were good decisions, but we've made some pretty poor decisions when it comes to growth. Mm-hmm. And a couple of the decisions actually resulted in us having to lay off some employees because we got overextended and people that owed us money were not paying. And as you know, with an agency, let's say you're doing Google ads or anything else, like there's a domino effect. If you're not paid and if you're also paying Google, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
So definitely, I think we always get kind of enamored with tech and the future and trying to kind of future-proof the business. And it was a kind of business kind of building our own ad network thing. And long story short, it turned out to be a really bad decision. And so it caused a lot of pain and heartache having to lay some people off. And then I think it's dealing with the fallout of that. Like you envision your business as always being successful, especially because you put a lot of time, work, effort. It's kind of what you eat, sleep, breathe. So the fact that if you dedicate yourself so much to something and there's any amount of large failure, it's sometimes hard to reconcile that.
Yeah.
Not that anybody owes you anything. And just because I work hard means I should be successful. I'm not saying that, but it's just you put so much work into something. It's hard to associate any failure with it.
Yeah.
And so I think, and so, you know, we've since pivoted from that and, you know, we're more profitable and actually have the best services we've ever offered right now, which is awesome. But it definitely kind of shaped us in trying to be more nimble and having better processes in place to make decisions like that.
Okay. So what changes did you have to implement to just resolve that issue? And if you could go back and make some changes from the beginning, what would you have done differently?
This new business required a ton of upfront investment, from resources to a very specific employee that had a lot of this kind of institutional knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so we jumped into it without really fully understanding what we were getting into. And I know that, and I shouldn't even say fully understanding, because what do we fully understand in life anyway, right? But I mean something like it was probably hard for us to talk about this method of business for more than about 2 minutes, until it got so technical that we're just describing real, like, surfacey, here's how it kind of works. But the actual, how it really works, we should have done our due diligence a lot more. And so I think that's the big takeaway, is devoting a lot more time to assessing new business models, or even pivoting your business. Maybe it's not the business model itself, but it's, hey, we're currently focused on CPA firms, and now we're thinking of focusing on realtors. It's not just a matter of, okay, let's change up some content on our website, and now we're focused on realtors. Like, you really want to put a ton of thought into the industry that you're currently focused on and industries that you want to focus on. So my point is just putting a lot more time and effort and devote resources to not just making that change, but to actually, like, building a process and say, okay, time's on our side here. We don't have to rush into anything. Mm-hmm. What should we do? So that would have really served us well.
Yeah. That's interesting. I think that's really great advice. So I'd love to pivot a little bit and talk about sales a little bit. So what does your sales strategy look like within your agency? And, you know, how are you bringing those leads in and then closing them?
Yeah. So there's kind of two models, and one model is you have, like, business development or account rep, where part of their job is managing a handful of accounts, but the other part of their job is fishing for new ones. Mm-hmm. Or then you have the content marketing HubSpot business model of, don't have those people, just write a ton of content, and magically people will become clients. And so I think we're a little bit more on the content marketing / SEO side. In other words, we're really building kind of machines that create leads that mean that we do not need salespeople. And I find it's a better growth method, because speaking from experience, we've had a couple salespeople and they both just didn't work out. And I think, for a variety of reasons, but, and nothing against salespeople, but the point is like, we have systems in place that produce leads, and they come to me, and I would then pre-qualify and basically sell them. But then once sold, account managers to actually work with them. So that's really the focus as far as building these kinds of channels. And so channels include SEO. So we're one of the top ranking we are the top ranking agency in the pond that we swim in California. But we also are a top ranking agency for, like, credit union marketing and those kinds of searches. We're on page one and page two for that. And so that is definitely helping. We also, as one of the tools that we use, came out of being a CMO for one of our clients. It's more of a business development tool. It's called Apollo. And mm-hmm. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't heard of it.
Okay. So we love Apollo. It's basically a database of 240 million business people that can be targeted down with a robust email marketing platform attached to it. So you create your sequenced email, and instead of uploading your 2,000 emails that you have, you can upload whatever, 68,500 of the targeted emails within their data, and then all of a sudden they're getting email. So that's another thing that we do with very specific industries that Netra is using to create business. We also have developed a service around Apollo for some of our clients.
Okay, very interesting.
And then, of course, word of mouth is another way, another sales tactic that is always there. Conferences, I feel like many of us are like bears in hibernation that are, you know, slowly waking up, right? Like
we're getting there slowly.
Yeah, yeah, like pre-COVID, and now it's like, oh, I guess we could go out again. So yeah, there's a couple conferences that we're going to attend. And so that's a little bit more of a long tail marathon approach, but you know, it might be old school, but they definitely work if you go to the right ones and meet the right people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I love how you've kind of stacked all those different methods that you use to bring in those leads. I think that's a really effective method.
Yeah. Yeah. I think with us, it's just building scale. And I think, you know, there's one other thing that makes us unique I didn't mention before. Our old agency was probably like 90% of the agencies that probably watch this. And there's nothing wrong with how these agencies are, but I saw a lot of inefficiencies. And that is, the majority of their employees are practitioners. They are designers, web designers, media buyers, content writers, and all of them perform great services. Mm-hmm. Rarely, and there may be an account executive, but for the most part, none of them are focused on creating new business. They're focused on providing a good service for existing business, which is great.
Yeah.
But I would often joke when our agency was bigger than it even is now, I would often joke like at parties, like, you know, I had a partner at the time. That's my partner and I founded Netra. And I'd often joke, like, you know, my partner and I, and just probably one person, we could do everything with Netra. We don't need all these people. Like, we could use freelancers. Mm-hmm. And people would be like, well, why don't you do that? And it's like, well, I mean, I can't. Like, our employees are family, you know? We can't do that, you know? But anyway, you know, fast forward 3-4 years, it's actually what I did. I ended up buying my partner out and pivoting mm-hmm. the business model. Because I found that the best people that we wanted to work with almost every single time, like for, let's say, web design, like I had a couple designers. One we hired from Disneyland. Great experience. But the best designers, they would love to work with us for a project, but mm-hmm. I couldn't hire them if I wanted to. Like, not that I couldn't pay them enough. It's just that they like being freelancers. They're really good at it. They set their own. But the only way I could get them to work with me was project by project.
Interesting.
And so this is what we have done. We have employees that do core things as far as, you know, Google, Facebook ads and SEO. But then we also use a lot of freelance of people that we've been working with for 7-8 years that we couldn't hire if we wanted to. And it works out great because it allows us to not raise our prices tremendously. Mm-hmm. So our clients get better service. And so the way that we grow is by hiring account managers. So like we get more clients, we hire an account manager. In other words, as I said, most agencies are full of practitioners with just a few client facing employees. So really that's how we scale, is by hiring account managers. And then they basically have a business unit. Like, that account manager would use our internal employees. Plus, we have a ton of freelancers that we use. And then we were always banging on them to continually find new ones. Like, yeah, these guys are good, but you always want to find new people. So I just feel what it does is it allows us to provide the best service we possibly can. Mm-hmm. But it also allows our agency to be like really profitable, which is cool, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, honestly, back in the day, I'd be like, wow, look how much money we're taking in. This is pretty good. But then after paying everybody and everything else, and I'm in California, so, you know, higher employment taxes, whatever. At the end, it's like, why am I doing this? Like all the stress and all the everything and dealing with these employees and all these things. So it's nice to be in a position of being much more profitable because it does allow us to do things like the fractional CMO and things that don't necessarily scale, but add a tremendous amount of value to our clients.
Yeah, it's so interesting. So the account managers that you hire, do you train them in sales? Are they helping bring more business into the company, or is that just through the channels that you already have set up, like your SEO?
You know what? That it's not a bad idea to train them to be a little bit more sales oriented. But no, I mean, they're very client and tactician oriented. We prefer to hire account managers that have hands-on experience running Google ad campaigns, SEO, and not that they're doing that for us now, but that they can speak with authority on those topics.
Right. Okay. Interesting. That's such a cool strategy. I absolutely love it. It's very cool. So would you say are some tactics or tips you would have for being more productive in your day-to-day?
For being more productive. Well, most agencies, they're using a CRM or project management tool. Mm-hmm. So we use both. Asana is a bit more of a project management than a CRM, although of course there's definitely people that would argue that. For CRM, we're using Pipedrive. Which is just a lead, you know, aggregating leads and following up. That's really all it does, to where Asana is more about managing projects.
Yeah, totally.
And so that's what we largely used, and the Google Suite. So tips to be more, you said efficient.
Yeah. More efficient or productive.
You know, I think it's communication. And another thing, there was a time where we didn't like meetings because who really likes a meeting? But then you realize like, okay, but there's good things to discuss if only for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, and so I feel like now we have a lot of internal meetings, but they are pretty short usually. Mm-hmm. But I think that's one thing, to just ensure that people are on the same page. Yeah, we use Slack. Yeah, we, you know, everything else, but you know how it is. A conversation can accomplish usually a lot more than going back and forth via email or Slack.
Yes.
And especially when there's a lot of moving pieces. So it's something that we have kind of gotten over, is this resistance to meetings, just as long as they're on point and we're not just talking about the weather and gas prices, you know, like we're actually like talking about the client and things like that. So I think that's a big, it ultimately helps the efficiency of the agency when everybody's on the same page, but it feels like it kills the efficiency at first because you're like, shoot, well, how many meetings are there this week? Just internal. Like that's a lot. But then you see the outcome and it's like, you know what? It definitely makes sense. So here I am talking about the benefit of a meeting. Who would have thought?
Yeah, no, I think you definitely have to be objective about, you know, how many meetings you're having, but absolutely, meetings definitely have their time and place. And like you said, just having that face-to-face interaction and, you know, sometimes even just picking up the phone instead of having emails back and forth is, it's such a quicker way to accomplish tasks when you're unclear about certain things.
It is. I think it's so easy for our agencies, to be so digital in nature. For instance, like how much, like you don't have filing cabinets, like the, you know, the tall 4-drawer-high filing cabinets, like,
yeah,
we don't need those. Right. And so it's like when you print out a piece of paper for anything, it almost makes it more special because like everything is digital. And I think it's similar when it comes to the human interaction component. Technology seems to be driving us to synthesize it more and more and more. So I think it puts a higher premium on actual interaction. Mm-hmm.
No, I spoke with an agency owner recently and she said she has a policy. If there's more than 3 emails that go back and forth clarifying any situation, pick up the phone and call the person.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think it makes a lot of sense. So yeah, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but where do you see Netra Media in 5 years' time?
You know, I think I'd like to say that we're really continue to be on the cutting edge of marketing tactics and data attribution. We have really focused on, like I say, working with credit unions and working with community banks. Their inherent issue is that their websites to process any online application has to go to a banking portal to do that. Almost every bank and credit union website does that. But that banking portal is a separate domain. So Google Analytics and ad platform data is never going to align with, okay, how many loans did this campaign produce? They never align. And so that's what we've been working on is we've partnered with a banking portal data attribution company where we take that data from these banking portals and marry it to ad platform data. And now all of a sudden they can see here's how much money we spent to create this many auto loans this month. Mm-hmm. Here's the cost per loan. Like this stuff just sounds like common sense. Like if you're a CPG product, like an iPhone case, well, yeah, you could go click to cart. It's easy. But something like this has never existed before. And banks just spend money on marketing, chalking most of it up to brand awareness and then kind of vanity metrics like clicks and impressions.
Yeah.
So this is a big deal. And so this is kind of where I see ourselves is just leaning further and further into this and just being a great resource.
That's so interesting. It's very cool. So we're going to wrap up with the fast five. So we've got 5 rapid fire questions here for you. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
You know, I'd say the author is Seth Godin and the book is Linchpin. That book came at a great time in my life when I was transitioning to becoming an entrepreneur. And so for anybody out there that's thinking about that, if that's where you are, it's a great book.
Okay, awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
Well, let's see. Just the normal stuff as far as getting up and getting ready for the day. I usually have a quiet time in the Bible to start off. I've got 2 girls that are 9 and 10. And so the whole getting them ready for school and their routine. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, dropping one of them off at school and stuff like that.
Nice. Very good. Mm-hmm. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
A CEO that I follow or study? Not really. I was a big fan of Godin, I think, especially as I needed that pushing out. So I could say maybe Seth Godin.
Okay.
Maybe not quite as much anymore, but he was pivotal. He was a pivotal figure for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to subscribe to his daily emails, and it always had really inspiring things and great words of advice.
It's amazing. I mean, the guy, I think he continues to write a blog post every day. And sometimes it's a couple sentences, and other times it's 1,500 words.
Yeah. But
I'm actually writing a press release right now, and it's just, it's so hard. It's like it's training a muscle in your brain to be able to write like that consistently. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And what is your favorite online tool?
Let's see. I would have to say we're a big fan of Apollo. Apollo.io. Okay. Hey, they just got a free shout out. they're pretty awesome. It's an awesome platform.
Perfect. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I'm not just going to have success, you know? And not just when we had to let some people go, but you know, success, as we've probably all seen, you know, if you zoom out, you could say it kind of looks like this, but when you zoom in on that, it's like this, like, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And you know that going into it, you've heard stories, but I think it's just understanding that you're not an exception to that. So don't be surprised when everything that you want to do and all these amazing ideas that you have, mm-hmm. not all of them are going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it sounds like common sense, but you want to learn from other people's mistakes, but in some ways it's okay to learn from your own. How about that?
Yeah, absolutely. No, entrepreneurship can definitely be an emotional roller coaster at times.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dave. It was a pleasure to have you on the show, and I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.